You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We'll get to Poppy's refrán del día in a moment. Tony is ready to go. But before we do that, we have to get the polls from the week out of the way. At Le Batard Show is where you vote. A lot of people like to vote on the polls and see the polls before they've even listened to the show. What do we have, Whittingham, on the poll front for updates?
First, we can tell you that the polls are brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Yeah. We begin with, is St. Augustine a happening place?
Poppy, how do you feel about St. Augustine? You like Sanibel Island. How do you feel about St. Augustine?
It's a great place to be.
It is?
Greg Cody, yeah. Greg Cody was there not too long ago.
That's right. That's why it came up.
And breakfast, you know.
That's right. How do you know all of this?
Well,
how do you,
I got my inside track.
Okay, he's got his inside track. I don't know how he knows that, but it's true.
You've been to the Fountain of Youth, Poppy?
Greg Cody did have a lovely bed
there. That's right. I've been looking for the Fountain of Youth, and I'm told that it's right there.
At Le Batard Show on the polls. Go ahead, Whittingham.
Do the Marlins have a way?
It's so stupid.
Yeah, sure.
No, they don't have a way,
no.
Poppy.
It's
what
losing.
Do you mean, yeah,
no.
Sure?
Of losing, I mean. Let me finish this.
You don't subscribe to the Marlins way? The Marlins way. This is how we do things in this organization.
Yeah, well.
By the way, I never gave you the results for the first one. So 69.5% of the audience said no, St. Augustine is not a happening place.
Oh,
and the Marlins do not have a way. No, finished at 63.6% of the audience. How many Dolphins can correctly pronounce Tua's last name? We set the over-under at 10.5.
How many, Poppy? If there are 53 men on the roster, is it 55
yeah,
now?
Yeah, 53, yeah.
If there are 53 men on the roster, how many of them can pronounce Tua Tagovailoa?
Tua Tagovailoa. Wow, I tell you, that's a mouthful.
Ooh, you're so close, Poppy.
You made it Tonga dancing.
Maybe about four or five guys.
Yeah, probably not very many. What's the number?
Tagovailoa.
Yes, he made the last part of his name Latin.
We did a poor job setting the line. That's a fine. Is that a fine for
that's
Poppy?
That's my
or is
father's
that a fine.
Fine.
Oh,
yes,
wow,
that's
a $5 fine for Poppy.
A $5 fine for Poppy.
Extraordinary. We set the line too high. It is under 10.5 at 87.6%.
At Le Batard Show on Twitter.
Does Chris Cody root against Chris Whittingham's happiness?
Definitely.
Wow. Another fine for Poppy. That's another $5. 97.2% of the audience said yes.
Yeah.
If we can't trust Jeremy Schapp with the English language, then who can we trust?
The what language?
The English language? Did I mispronounce that? I'm
sounded
sorry.
Like you slurred your words a little.
Sorry. 60% of the audience said yes.
People do enjoy when you mess up, Whittingham. We haven't heard from Jessica in
oh my God, Dan. Genesis was here.
It is still here.
Were safes invented not for burglars, but for children who steal passports? 73.8% of the audience said yes. I'm officially rattled. How many homes can a ghost
she
haunt?
She just appeared out of nowhere.
She just appeared.
English. It was funny, and it was right after the one about Chris Cody rooting against you. So I just felt like it was a good time to point out your mistake.
If you were here, he'd be shouting, "You fool!" at me. No question.
You fool.
How many homes can a ghost haunt? One or more than one?
Bobby's got an answer here.
Are you kidding? A bunch of them. Are you kidding me?
A bunch of them. That's, you think?
You don't think ghosts are consigned to one house and that's their torture?
10 or 15. Wow. Real estate mogul, this ghost.
That's right.
You think that haunting can be a part-time job, that a ghost can do it part-time
at different homes?
No wonder we have an affordable housing crisis.
Exactly.
They go from one house to the other.
Okay.
The audience disagrees with you, Poppy. 62.2% of the audience says a ghost can only haunt one house.
Well, that's not a very smart ghost.
The ghost is ignorant.
isn't diversifying their portfolio. Does it feel good to lash someone in the face over a typo or grammatical error? Perhaps slightly hypocritical of me in this segment. 70% of the audience said yes. You've written a great tweet, but it has a typo in it. Do you leave it or delete it?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's actually a very close question. 55.8% of the audience says leave it. Got to deal with the retweets with typos. What's wrong with swapping?
I don't remember Chris Cody was advocating on behalf of wife swapping or husband swapping, I suppose.
Can't be gender neutral. What's wrong with swapping? 59.5% of the audience said yes. Are cabanas overrated?
Grand Hill.
Bizarre take, in my opinion. How can a cabana be overrated?
Never overrated.
Go to a place, lounging by a pool, have a bottle of some form of liquor.
The audacity to have a cabana and tell people who don't have cabanas that they're overrated. Come on.
But there are some people who view cabanas to be overrated. Yes wins, but at 56.1%, 44% of the audience thinks that cabanas are overrated. We really are a divided nation, Dan. Yeah.
Thank you for updating the polls, Whittingham. Papa, you owe $5 here for your phone going off again and again during the segment. Let's do...
I tried to shut it off. I guess I wasn't quick enough.
Okay, no, but where's your wallet? I see you're not quick enough to get to your wallet and the $5 you owe either. I see that you're slow. Where is your wallet?
I'm very slow.
Not reaching into your pocket. Do you have $5? You owe $5. It's a fine around here.
Okay.
For when your phone goes off, you're not going into your pockets. Where are your pockets?
Right here.
Okay. Let's do Refrán del Día. He's awfully slow. I don't know if he's going to get it out.
I took some real coercing.
He's going very slow. Let's do Refrán del Día.
You want $5?
$5.
That's it.
Dímelo, mi gente!
Dímelo.
The only way to get into a Friday. Feels amazing.
Yeah.
It's the hottest segment probably in the show's history, actually, if you want me to be honest. But
big show.
I'm glad that you were honest about that. Yeah.
I think Bobby agrees, right, Bobby?
Definitely.
Oh, okay.
The best segment.
Look at that cosign. I mean, we're just getting cosigns all over the place.
Spin that damn wheel.
Yeah.
Spin it.
Spinning.
The front of the app. Bobby's going to translate it.
Oh, wow. What a great one. Oh, my God. Here it is. You ready? Bobby, explain to the people what paso número means.
Paso número, that means you better straighten out. Otherwise, you know what I mean? Something is bad is going to happen to you.
The little translation is on your number.
Oh. Yeah, it's true, on your number.
Inexplicably, that means...
I don't know what that means.
Get right or get tight.
Yeah.
Right. Straighten up and fly right.
That doesn't make any sense, though. Para su número doesn't make... For your number doesn't make any...
No, it doesn't make any sense in English, but in Spanish, if you say... Esa persona es para su número, o está en su número, that means, están afilado.
Means like you're on your last chance.
No. Like, they're on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Para su número means like you're on it.
Hell to pay.
But you just said, está afilado.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
That's another one. Is that on the wheel?
That is a freebie, actually. Double.
Wow,
if you can
what
hit
is
the,
afilado?
A double. Poppy, to be afilado, what does that mean?
Very sharp. Very sharp. Extremely sharp.
That means you're on your number, Dan. That's what it means.
Cut yourself sharp?
That's right.
Do you know the sound that El Afilador makes, Papi? Are you familiar with the neighborhood? Are you familiar?
You mean the one that sharpens the scissors?
The sharpens the scissors or the knives? The noise, though, like the ice cream truck that comes around the neighborhood. Do you know what that...
Similar to the ice cream truck.
Not at all similar. It's like a...
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Don Levitard.
Who is the comedian? Is it James Mulvaney? How do you pronounce his...
John Mulaney?
There you go. Thank you. John Mulaney.
$2, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad fine. Wow. Everybody started shaking their head.
I mean, he's arguably the most popular comedian right now. James Mulvaney.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is John Mulvaney the most popular columnist at Levitard?
Oh, my God.
Show?
Comedian, Dan. Jesus, get it together.
Excuse me. Comedian, my bad.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Billy, I don't think this week I have a larger on-air regret than not following the conversation longer on Monday, I think it was, about ghosts and how ghosts live and whether ghosts can be monogamous or must be monogamous to a single home, whether ghosting and haunting is a full-time job. You can't have seven homes. You can't properly haunt any home if you've got seven homes as a part-time job. I just have a lot of regret that we didn't follow the conversation a little more, and I'm sure Ricky has thoughts if you want to give him more preface on where we were talking about ghosts.
Yeah, so Ricky, as a quick backstory, last year for Halloween on one of the podcasts, we spoke to a number of people, one of which was a tarot card reader who told me that I had a ghost in my house, but said that this wasn't a ghost that was there to do like nefarious things, just like a happy ghost hanging out at the house that sometimes turned on and off the light on my hood vent. So then we were talking about what we would do as ghosts, and we were saying that if we were ghosts, we'd be bored if we were just in the same house the whole time. And Dan did not like the idea of ghosts having more houses to go to than just the one.
Got it. What are your thoughts on this subject matter and ghostery in general?
How are we defining ghosts?
That's a good question. Dan?
Haunting, spiritual, disembodied, soulful things that don't come in a human vessel or human form, but come from the past or future or beyond or other unknown places.
What about like past relationships? Those seem to haunt a lot of people.
Is that a ghost?
So, yeah. So that's a form of a ghost. You know, typically my understanding of ghosts is ghosts aren't there because they want to be. They're there because they don't know they have any other choice. And so typically they're stuck. And sometimes they could be stuck in a larger space, and sometimes they're stuck in a room. But it just depends. You know, I think of a ghost as defining a person who once lived on this earthly plane. A ghost means they live on the next subtle plane. And sometimes it takes a while before they realize that they're not in the body anymore, especially if they don't believe in ghosts or they think everything ends after we die. Then they stay stuck in that kind of middle area for a long time until it clicks that, oh, maybe there is life after death. And then they have the ability to move on.
So are ghosts stuck kind of like in a transitional period?
Yep, exactly.
In perpetuity? Yeah.
Well, until they wake up. So the whole idea in Asian cultures of ancestor worship, It was to, from the earthly people, to send the message to the ancestors to let them know, like, go on. Because if you go to that next realm, you'll be able to help us. And so when we actually see the ghost, it means they're stuck. When people who have passed show up in dreams or they're giving us messages, that's them extending themselves to our plane to give us information. And so the ancestor worship was to create those channels of communication so they stayed open between us and the people that had passed on.
Can you elaborate what you were saying before as relationships, as a form of ghosts? You're saying imprisoned by our patterns, whether we know them or not?
Exactly. Well, just the idea of if someone understands that the purpose of everything that happens to us in life is to help us grow and learn, then we have a relationship. It's kind of like death, right? The purpose of life is to grow and learn, and then we move on. But sometimes we get into a relationship and we think that this is it. This is it. And then it's not. And if we haven't come to terms and let go of the past life of the relationship, then it still haunts us. If we realize, wow, this relationship really taught me a lot about myself, and I feel based on what I've learned, I can move forward and find a more fulfilling relationship, then there's no need for the ghost of the past relationship to haunt us anymore.
Not defining ghosts that way, but defining ghosts the more abstract way. Has Ricky Williams encountered or had an experience with a ghost?
Yes.
Did you know who or what the ghost was, or was it like a ghost that had unresolved issues where you were?
I was at a friend's house, actually I was at a good friend's house, and I walked into the house, and the way it felt is like there were people in the house. Like that, it was because the idea of ghosts, it's they're not on the earthly plane. They're on a subtler plane. So the parts of us that pick up on them are the parts of us that feel things. And so I walked into the house and I felt like there were people in the house. And I walked up to the woman who owned the house, and I said, it feels like there's people in here. And she was like, oh yeah, there's a grandpa on the couch. The aunt is in the living room, you know? And so I spent about 2 days there, and just like, you know, I was trained in a way to help release ghosts. And it's really simple. You just talk to them and give them the information to let them know that they can go, that they don't have to stay there. And sometimes they'll go, but sometimes, you know, it's not enough. So they'll just stick around. And it's a feel, you know, kind of how when you walk into the room and your spouse or your partner or your parent is upset with you or happy, and you don't talk, but you just walk into the room and you feel it. That's the way I would describe when you feel a ghost. It's like an eerie feeling. And if you discount it, it goes below consciousness. But if you add curiosity to it, it allows you to pick up even more information about what's going on.
Did I hear you correctly? Did you say you were trained to release ghosts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a major, it's any kind of like deep spiritual healing, it's part of the curriculum. Because we all have ghosts, whether they're people, relationships, old, unembodied entities that are still hanging around us. And a lot of the times we think it's us, the voices in our head. And so clearing these entities is what we call them, is a powerful tool. And most, a lot of psychotherapists, this is essentially the work that they're doing, is freeing people from their ghosts.
Have you had multiple experience with ghosts, or is that the only one?
That's the one that was the most obvious. But in the nature of the training and the practice, a lot of people show up that have entities. But that was the most visceral experience I've had.
Do these things scare you?
They used to scare me when all I heard about them was from books and movies and other people. But when I had my own experience and I did my own research, the fear went away. Because the ghosts or whatever, they don't have any, they're not powerful. They don't have any control over us. If you tell a ghost to leave, it'll leave. It'll probably come back later like people, but if you tell it to leave, it'll leave.
Are ghosts actively looking for solutions to their unresolved issues, or are there ghosts that don't realize what they're supposed to be doing? You have to kind of help them along.
That's exactly what it is. The clearing method is the simple method is you ask them, who are you? And then you say, who were you before that? And then you say, who will you be in the future? And a lot of them, just that simple, they realize, it's like they wake up and they realize that they have a choice, and then they move on. But most of them don't realize that they have a choice.
It doesn't seem like a ton of training, just three questions. help the ghost.
Well, it's not a lot of training, but the training is to have the experience. So when you're in that moment, you can remember what to do and how to handle them.
But what are the other elements of deep spiritual training that, like, because if you had said part of deep spiritual training is learning how to talk to ghosts, I might not have believed you. Like, what are the things that are in that realm that you've learned from taking deep spiritual training?
Really, I think the whole clearing entities or ghosts is really the epitome of the spiritual training. And the idea is there's things that exist that we haven't been trained or taught how to engage with. But if we open up our mind and our senses, we can gain that kind of education. And that goes across the board, not just entities, but ideas, tasks, miracles, you know, all these things that we don't understand, we have the ability to interact with them if we can open up our subtle senses.
So miracles are a thing that you've encountered? Like, what's the guidance on miracles?
So when I think of miracles, I think of Saint Augustine had a quote, and he said, you know, miracles aren't in defiance to nature. They're just things that we don't yet understand. And so a miracle is anything you don't yet understand. And so what I would consider a miracle is probably different from what most people would consider miracles.
See, I was here and I was like, it doesn't seem that hard if it's just three questions, but I already forgot what the three questions were.
Yeah.
So to your point, your training worked. What were the three questions you asked the ghost? Who were you?
Who are you? There's two versions, either who are you or what are you?
Okay.
The next question is who or what were you? Who were you? Who did you used to be or who were you? You send them into the past. So you send their awareness to a consciousness of where they've come from. And then the next question is who will you be in the future? And that's an invitation to move forward because they're stuck in time.
But do they know? What if ghosts don't know who they are presently?
How do they answer you?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Some people will feel a feeling in their body. Some people will actually hear words, their inner voice in their head. Some people will just get a sense or a knowing. For me, sometimes I'll hear a faint whisper, and sometimes I'll just feel a tension or a sense in my body.
You're of the belief that ghosts, what you're talking about here, Ricky, is things that you've learned that you have not yet consciously learned. To trust your gut, your instinct, your patterns that have brought you to a place where you're feeling your past, right? You're feeling mistakes from your past that you're making ghosts.
What I'm hearing is more, yes, when someone says, trust your gut, you know, like all of those things. And playing sports is a great training in learning to trust your gut. Because as a running back, the hole is only open for a split second. And if I have any sense of doubt, I don't get through the hole. Okay. And the larger training of this is to trust my gut, to trust these senses, to be aware of these subtle things that I haven't been consciously taught to be aware of. You know, I think it's just the simple example is just guys. Okay. Guys in general, right? We're not truly taught to be in touch with our feelings. Whereas women are more trained to be in touch with their feelings. And so for guys, a lot of times we have feelings and we don't even know we have feelings, right? It takes the woman or the person that we're dumping our feelings on to like say, hey, you know? And so just, you know, the idea of training our subtle senses to be able to pick up on things that we haven't been trained. You know, it's like sometimes you just know something. You don't know why you know it, but you know it. And do you have the ability to trust that subtle sensation, or do you need tangible proof?
Before we get to this week's chart, I wanted to ask you about something. Aaron Donald and Jaylen Brown went with Kanye West, went with Donda as representation. And you did this a long time ago, Ricky. We've talked about some of the details here. I don't understand what Jaylen Brown and Aaron Donald get from having Kanye West represent them or Donda represent them. What did you get from having Master P represent you? What were you trying to achieve by having Master P and his business associates represent you?
You know, for me, there's a lot of things, but I'd say the thing that was closest to me is when the runners or the guys that work for the agents, the typical agents came to me, it just felt dirty and slimy and gross. When Terry, P's runner, came to me and interacted with me, it felt like family. And so, you know, I wasn't comfortable doing the, you know, the player with like the well-dressed you know, agent next to him with the mouth doing all those things, I saw an opportunity to do something different and to move the relationship between athletes and their agents to a different level. You know, of trying to show guys, you don't have to just follow the same path that everyone else has followed. Is there's kind of my same theme. It's there's things more important than getting the most money you can from the team. For me, like my life as a football player, it was more important that it felt more like family and I could trust the people that I was working with and it felt good to be around them. And it wasn't so transactional.
Are you doing white black there though? Because what are you doing with Slimy, or what was feeling, what felt inauthentic about it? Just the coldness of how financial the transaction was?
Part of it is white black, but it's not in the sense of being racial. It's white black in the sense of a level of comfort. It's not across the board, but most white people haven't spent a lot of time with black people. So it's this awkward, like two separate worlds trying to interact over a transaction, right? What we have in common is we both want the money. Okay. And so it is white and black, but it's just a level of comfort and cultural comfort, right? And for me, talking to P, and like I could be myself, and it was just that he understood me. And even to my detriment of not, you know, pushing back or quitting or fighting back when I demanded to have my contract negotiated the way I wanted it negotiated.
They represented you the way that you wanted to be represented, but they devised for you what would be considered any banker or astute financial person really ill-advised numbers and really ill-advised business advice to have you go prove yourself through incentives, but they did what you asked them to do.
100%. 100%. And that's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for someone to tell me what to do.
So when people say, though, dumb contract, your answer is?
To you. I mean, to you. I totally understand. And from a financial perspective, obviously, you know, it didn't work out in paying me all the money. But as far as, I'll call it spiritual currency and making a difference in the world, I feel like people are still talking about this contract. As opposed to if I would have just gotten the highest paid, right? It would have been the next year, there wouldn't have been another highest paid player and wouldn't be talking about it anymore.
Whittingham, before we get to the charts this week, when I say to you, Ricky's contract, a quote unquote dumb contract, Ricky tried to make his contract incentive based so that if he was the best running back in the league with impossible to reach incentives, he would have been paid better than any running back. But if he did not, the guaranteed money would shrivel up and it would cost him, I don't know, $50 million.
But that's the point. But that's the point, though, where we can say the point is it's a dumb contract, but I'd rather say that I'm dumb. Because to me, the contract was my idea. And my idea was if I don't perform, if I don't meet expectations, I shouldn't be paid. I shouldn't be paid like that way. That's more of my own personal look in the mirror, you know, before I go to bed at night. But and if I'm getting all this big paycheck and I'm underperforming, I'm gonna be miserable.
But it's only the mirror though, Ricky. Your standard was higher than anybody else's there because it bought you nothing ultimately other than the ability to look in that mirror with it, which is everything.
Which is everything. That's 100%. At the end of the day, at the end of my life, okay, I promise you, I'm not going to be thinking about the amount of money I made or didn't make. And if I am, then I'm not going to be very happy with my life. I'm going to look at the people that I touched. I'm going to look at the impact that I had. And if one person decides to choose looking in the mirror and liking what they see over a paycheck, then I feel like I've done my job.
I do think, though, that's like part of the overall culture of talking about sports and sports contracts, right? Where if you're a running back that hasn't followed up on the previous high, then your agent didn't do a good enough job. Or if you didn't get enough guaranteed money, then your agent didn't like the, it's all about, it's funny because in one sense it's fans getting angry about greed, but on the other sense it's business reporters and people who cover this looking at an athlete, oh, you're not maximizing your earning potential. And that you basically have to hand hold us through what is a very noble pursuit, but unless you do that, then we're left questioning, well, why is he doing this? This is stupid.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. And to me, it's a conversation to be had. And I don't even expect everyone to agree with me. Everyone, each person their own. Like, I mean, sometimes, not very often, I wish I was more motivated by, but I, like, even if I try to be, like, my experience is even when I don't try, I always have enough money to do everything that I wanted to do. So to make extra concessions to have more money, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, especially against the backdrop now where basically everyone is having a go at golfers for going to defect and just take money and not be a part of something that's competitive or interesting, that the entire function of LIV Golf, this new Saudi Arabian-backed golf tour, is just money. All the incentives are money-based. If you shoot a 54 in a four-round tournament, then we'll pay you $54 million. Like, everything is all about money, money, and people are having a go at them for it, as they should.
Well, again, to each his own, and I think we have to decide, is sports about money? I mean, it seems like NIL and this new golf league thinks so. You know, but to me, sports has always been about competition and striving to be the best. And if money helps people do that, great.
One more point, Ricky, because I felt like I have tried to advocate on behalf of the things you've tried to represent without it buying you actually very much in social currency. You can live with yourself when I say he cost himself $50 million trying to do running back the right way, pay me what I have earned. And you cost yourself, I think it was $1 million with Gillette, right? They were going to offer you $1 million just to shave your dreadlocks?
Well, I mean, there's that, but then we can go to the retiring from the NFL after failing the drug test. That's probably cost me 20, 25, 30 million. Like, that's crazy. So I think there's a consistent theme, and I don't think it's true that it hasn't bought me anything socially, because when people interact with me and they meet me, it's for most people that know the story, they like the level of the conversation automatically goes to a deeper level. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say anything. It just goes there because of my track record and people know who I am. And to me, that was my purpose. That was the aim in the beginning. It's for people when they interact with me that they have a greater sense of who I am.
You've always
so it's more authentic interaction.
You've always wanted that to be the relationship between the fans and their heroes, right? You've not wanted the photograph or the autograph. Hey, come over here and connect because you feel like you really know me. You see me, you know me. I've shown you who I am, and this relationship is a personal one. I bring you joy when I achieve because we're in this together. You've always wanted that, right? It's a craving for a more authentic relationship with the customer.
Well, especially when I've been like pegged as an inspirational character or something that people look up to. And if people are just looking up to me and they just want an autograph and a picture to show their friends that look who I met, to me, that's the least of what I can offer. For someone to be actually inspired by the way I've lived my life and for them to start making choices that are more true to them, that's what I'm looking for. And so it's not... So the picture and the autograph, if it represents something, that's extremely powerful. That every time someone sees the helmet, it says smoke weed every day or the autograph, that it inspires them to be more themselves. Because there's so many things in life that are pushing us to not be who we actually are. If an autograph or a picture can be some sort of inspiration for people, I think that's amazing.
The three charts we've put in front of you are Bill Barr, Trump's AG, says he told him election fraud claims were bullshit. A little late on the heroics there, Billy Boy. Carl Paladino, Republican congressional candidate, calls Hitler the kind of leader we need today. That'll get the voters out. And Deshaun Watson, New York Times expose makes suspension likely. Good thing the Browns only gave up half the franchise to get him. Among those three, what jumped out at you, Ricky?
Deshaun Watson.
What do you got?
Okay, so I'm learning my lesson. Okay, we're stepping into very like heated, controversial territory. Okay, so I just want to point out that it seems a little bit, and it seems interesting that this good thing the Browns only gave up half the franchise. So we're going to money, but when there's a much deeper issue, it seems underneath this whole story.
Well, it's more what the money represents, right? It's the largest guarantee in the history of football. It's basically saying, we don't give a shit about any of this. We're going to give you a bunch of money anyway, and we'll give up three first-round draft picks to acquire you. It's the acknowledgement that they don't care at all about any of the accusations.
That's part of it. But the other part is, like, because when I look at an astrological chart, I'm looking at someone's life journey, okay? And so to take... you know, the football and the money and all that stuff, but to realize that there's a human being that's actually going through this process. You know, whether we think he's a perpetrator, he's innocent, or whatever, it's a human being going through this process. And so when I look at the chart, I'm looking at it from the perspective of, this is someone that was coming to me asking for guidance or counsel, and I'm looking at the chart, like, what are the themes that emerge? And kind of obvious in Deshaun Watson's chart, like a theme that really like jumps out is the idea of we're dealing with very charged material, something that, that we typically, you know, are not sanctioned to talk about on a daily basis. Okay. And, you know, death a couple of weeks ago, we faced that one. Sex, you know, we've kind of like joked about it, but now we're bringing in like consensual acts of sex, right? Privacy. What happens when the doors are closed? You know, and in Deshaun's Watson's chart, there's just a lot of him in this lifetime having to deal with a lot of that charged material. And the planet is the planet Pluto. And you read astrology books, the first thing that you see in most of the books is Pluto is the planet of our woundedness, where we've been wounded. Okay. And the what happens whenever we're wounded, there's a festering, there's something there festering that until we deal with it, it's not going to be resolved. But the nature of dealing with it requires us to go back into the murky stuff. Okay. And the going into murky things, like it's hard to see. And so typically we make a lot of mistakes, and these kind of mistakes are huge mistakes where we tend to be scapegoated. Okay. But at the core of it, it's really trying to untangle ourselves from the human complexities that we landed in. And some of us, like me, for example, you know, I had to go through a lot of like sexual abuse trauma stuff with my dad. And I want to go into this just a little bit. It's on the 30 for 30. And I think it really does tie to what's going on with Deshaun Watson in a sense. Okay. So I've just been reviewing this scenario from my life. Okay. That when I was 4 years old, and my mom used to go to night school. So my dad would stay home and watch us. And so I remember one night my dad was on the couch and he was laying on the couch in his robe and he opened up his robe and I have two sisters and he had my sisters like and us come and he was showing us his penis and he might even masturbated in front of us. Okay. And as a four-year-old, okay, I didn't know that was wrong. Okay. As a four-year-old, like to me, you know, my flashbacks, like it was fascinating to me. I was curious. You know, I'm someone who's curious in those darker recesses that we're not supposed to look in. But as kids, we don't know that. And so I went through that experience. And I remember the next morning driving to school with my mom. And I was excited to share with her the experience from the past night because it was fascinating. And I can imagine my mom's ears and her what was going on in her head as her four-year-old son was explaining this to her, right? The end result, you know, is it blows up my parents' marriage. My dad gets kicked out. I don't ever see my dad again. All from my excitement about seeing his penis, you know? It's like the excitement about the things that are hidden or we're not supposed to see. Okay. And so, you know, in the nature of Pluto, it's here to rob us of our naivete, to take it away from us. Okay. So it typically requires some kind of wounding experience. And so my sense is looking at Deshaun's chart is, you know, not talking about innocence or not, but that whatever happened, that the core of it is based in some kind of wound. Okay. And if we only punish people for trying to work out wounds, then the wounds tend to go deeper and only get worse. If we try to understand when something like this comes up, to be a little bit more patient, to look a little bit more deeply, and to try to support and help people, I think. But coming back to the money, I don't think throwing money at it and not actually dealing with what's going on is going to help. It just makes the problem worse.
Are you saying by tying it to you what you remember of your sexual abuse in your family? Are you saying that somewhere in the chart, what would be indicated to you is that there was some sort of wound that makes him now a deviant, or someone who is doing things that are illegal because of something that happened to him, a wound unaddressed? That's in the chart?
Yes. And it's in the chart. And I would say anytime that we see this kind of deviance, I would say it's coming from a wound. And the chart can give you details on can give you information about trying to understand the wound and processing it. But the first thing, when I meet someone and I look at their chart and there's a really powerful Pluto in the chart, okay? And Deshaun Watson has this chart. The first thing that I try to make, like I try to convey to the person that there's nothing out of bounds for you to talk about in this conversation. Because with plutonium people, we have these wounds or these horrible things that we've experienced or seen, but anytime we try to talk about it, there's shame and humiliation, then it just stays inside and it festers. This is the whole point of therapy, because the idea is when you get into therapy, you all the things that you have kept inside that you don't feel safe sharing, that you have a safe place to talk about it. And once you start to talk about it, you can see it and you can deal with it. But when it stays inside, and especially when you're famous and you're not supposed to have anything wrong with you, you have to bury those things even further. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Ricky, thank you, sir. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.